Hello, and welcome to this Control Risks podcast. I'm Eben Kaplan, and I'm joined today by John Lane, a director in our crisis and resilience consulting practice and a 25-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. Last month, the shooting deaths of two television reporters during a live broadcast in Virginia captivated and horrified viewers across the United States. But few people followed those developments in the way that John did. John leads Control Risks' workplace violence practice in the U.S., and as it happens, the killer in last month's shootings was a former colleague to his victims. John, shocking as it may seem, this kind of workplace violence is not altogether uncommon. Can you give a sense of just how frequent this kind of thing really is in the United States?
Well, Eben, unfortunately, violence in the workplace in the United States is way too frequent an occurrence. The most recent statistics that apply to this issue, it would be from the Bureau of Labor Stats, 2013, and it tells us that there were 397 workplace homicides. Now, keep in mind that probably 70% of that number of homicides was committed by a criminal element, opposed to an internal conflict like employee against employee or a love interest, domestic violence. But there are significant number of homicides that are committed in the workplace. Another statistic that I think is very telling comes from the FBI and their 2014 research into active shooter cases. They captured research on all active shooter cases from the year 2000 through 2013. And one of the statistics speaks to homicides committed where the business, the employer, had a closed shop, so to speak. So this wasn't open to the general public. And there were 23 such incidents with 69 people killed and 73 wounded. And 22 of the 23 shooters in these cases were employees or previous employers of those businesses. So, very dramatic statistics. Workplace violence is a foreseeable risk for any and all employers.
So, if it's foreseeable, I believe employers have a legal duty of care to keep their employees safe against this kind of hazard. What does proper care look like in this case?
Well, I think in this day and age, Eben, there are guidelines that have been established both by federal and state administrations and by the American National Standards Institute, which promulgated in 2011 a set of guidelines for employers, a best practice standard, if you will, for duty of care. And it speaks to such things as how you go about screening your employees pre-employment, how you manage your physical security, developing a policy and procedure relative to this issue of workplace violence prevention, and how you manage cases that do arise in your workplace. So there are guidelines. There is a best practice standard that can be applied to any work environment and by any employer.
So let's say that an employee raises a red flag, someone has been making threats, they escalate it properly, and the individual who's been making threats is really deemed to be a problem, a threat to the workplace. What happens then? How do you get that person out of the workplace in a way that keeps everyone safe?
Well, therein lies the complexity of these types of cases. There is an art to transitioning troubling employees away from your workplace, and it's case specific, but there is a skill set that needs to be applied in terms of, number one, understanding what the underlying potential risk is, and then developing a strategy to mitigate that risk as you transition them away from your workplace and to develop a post-termination strategy for providing oversight of this individual once they're away from your work environment. So what that simply means is you can't simply wash your hands of a troubling employee just because you fire this individual. There is an obligation to maintain some due diligence over that case because you may well still have employees that are at risk.
I think there might be a tendency to write this off as a U.S. problem. Certainly, gun violence is different in the United States than it is in other parts of the world. Does that mean that workplace violence is also less of a problem elsewhere?
No, by no means. From my experience, working with a number of multinational companies that are operating around the world, the reality is that in the work environment, individuals do have conflicts. There are still the same interpersonal relationship issues that spill over into the workplace. We call it domestic violence. It's a risk that is understood in most any part of the world. The one thing that doesn't resonate in other parts of the world is this whole idea of us resolving our grievances through the use of firearms. But there are physical assaults occurring in workplaces around the world. There still is the same attendant responsibility of employers to ensure the safe work environment. And for companies that are headquartered here in the U.S., their challenge is to standardize their workplace violence policy throughout the other international regions where they operate and ensure that it's understood given the cultural differences that might apply. So no, nobody gets a free pass as an employer just because they're operating in other spaces outside the U.S.
John Lane is director of Control Risks Crisis and Resilience Consulting Practice based out of Los Angeles. Thanks, John.
My pleasure.